This is Colourful Radio.
Eric, welcome to the programme.
Hey, nice to be here.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Excellent. Tell us, first of all, how does it feel to be Conservative Party chairman at this particular time? You're riding high in the polls. Everyone's looking back at 30 years since Margaret Thatcher became Prime Minister. People no longer call you the nasty party. You must be feeling great.
I feel just wonderful, but I'm a naturally cheerful chap, eh? So even in the bad times, I was pretty irrepressible. But now it's good. It's good, but we take nothing for granted. It's a while before the general election. We've just got to keep talking to the folks.
You really are riding high in the polls, though. Why do you think that is? Is it that you're doing everything right, or the government's just messing up all over the place?
I wouldn't say we're doing everything right, but certainly Mr. Brown does seem to have a capacity to get himself into deeper and deeper into mess.
Into pickles, ho-ho.
That's one of the things I've never heard that
particular
interjection before. Now, shall we do a count-up before she does a Wilfred joke?
We don't want to do that.
OK. Mr. Pickles, you've been a Member of Parliament for Brentwood and Ongar since 1992.
You're obviously doing
something right.
Well, it's not a bad seat for the Conservatives. It's in Essex, I'm pretty pleased to represent it. I mean, it's a bit different being, sort of an MP on the front bench and what you like back at the ranch. Back at the ranch, you tend not to be very political at all because you want to make sure that people who didn't vote for you don't feel intimidated about wanting to come and talk to
you. Eric, when you say back at the ranch, is that your equivalent of George Bush's Crawford, Texas, kind of your ranch, yeah?
Yeah, well, I do indeed think Brentwood and Ongar is the Texas of Essex.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
There's not too many guns
there. That's a marvellous thing. I'm a big fan of Western, so it's a great thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You've been described as many things.
Yeah, right.
Jovial and blunt speaking.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Plain speaking, subtle, human politician.
Oh, wow.
Human politician's a good one. Yeah. There's not many of them.
Well, we hope humane as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a bluff diamond.
A bluff diamond, yeah.
Mm, what do you think they meant by that?
Well, I am representing Essex Sikhs, but I am Yorkshireman by ethnic. And somebody once said to me that being Yorkshire is like a licence to be rude. You know, we speak our mind and we don't mind telling you one thing or other. And actually, we're just rude.
So how did Essex... Well, obviously, they've had you for 17 years, but a Yorkshireman representing Essex, how did that go down initially?
Well, my predecessor was a Scotsman, so on sort of geographic progression, the next one should be somewhere in the middle of the Dordogne. But, I mean, it was a fair competition, as I say. 364 other Conservatives applied, and I sort of got my way through and became the MP all those years ago.
Brilliant.
You mentioned Scotland, the Scots. We have a Scotsman here in the studio. We call him our resident ethical man because he recycles, he's pro all kinds of rights. And
bless his heart.
He's a very, very decent gentleman.
Callum
Walker, meet Eric Pickles.
Good morning, sir. I'd just like to ask, I mean, you know, obviously the Tory party is doing very well. The government's doing very badly. In terms of programmes to get, you know, the city moving, do the Conservative Party have a clear message, or is it about sort of opposition to what the government's doing at the moment?
Well, I think the clearest message is to paraphrase the former President Clinton. It's the credit crunch, stupid. It's all about credit. It's about trying to get credit moving. Now, whether that's the number of planning applications that's going through local authorities and they're losing money from that, whether it's a small business that's struggling, whether or not it's money going into industry, it's all about credit. And what the government singularly failed to do is to get that credit moving.
How can you force a bank to lend a small company? Even if there's a great case for doing so, how can you force that bank to lend?
I don't think you should force them to lend, but what we offered was this loan guarantee system whereby you get the credit moving and the government would take the risk. Of course, at the moment, to use a technical economic term, the banks have got the EBGBs and they're frightened to loan. They were sort of lending money out to, you know, better than me. Like there was no tomorrow, and it turned out when tomorrow came, there was a problem. So they've gone a lot the other way.
Yep. Now, would you... obviously, there's been a lot of attention the last couple of days on Fred the Shred. and his pension, Sir Fred Goodwin.
Indeed, yes, yes.
Do you know Fred?
I've never met Fred the Tread. I doubt I ever will now.
Well, would you be inclined to liberate his pension?
Well, I'll tell you what I would have done. And it's a kind of a common thing when you let the chief executive go. You kind of ask, how much is it going to cost? Now, whether that's the chief executive of a tiny little district council or whether it's a mega book guy like Sir Fred, you could have asked, what's the money? Now, the government seems to want to be passing a special piece of legislation in order to get this money back because they didn't bother to ask the question in the first place. And, I mean, as I was trundling over Lambeth Bridge, I was listening to reports that the Treasury were not very happy with what Harriet Hammond had said yesterday. So there's going to be a lot of, I think, bluster and a lot of talk. But I suspect nothing much is going to happen.
But would you, if you were in power, would you enact a law to take back Fred's pension, given that it's a legally binding agreement that they've signed, albeit a very silly one?
Given all the problems that we've got, given all the recapitalisation of the banks and everything, I think Fred's pension comes under the categories of bread and circuses. I think it's beneath the dignity. They should have asked a job. They should have asked in the first place. And maybe all the government ministers should take a quick cut in their salary for not doing the job properly.
Eric, being an, how can I put it, a bluff, dyed-in-the-wool, Yorkshire stroke Essex Tory, I presume you believe in small government and free market economics, yes?
Yeah, but not unfettered free markets. Not unfettered. I'm not a lunatic.
Do you want more fetters now? Because, of course, people are saying that, OK, 30 years after she burst onto the very serious scene as Prime Minister, and, well, 30 years on, it's now time to lay the ghost of a certain kind of Thatcherism to rest. That's what some of the pundits have been saying over the weekend. Is it time to lay that ghost to rest now? For all she did, we've got to move on.
Hey, now, my dear chum, I know you're sort of like a busy guy, but have you been in a time warp? Have you forgotten the last 10 years? Didn't you notice Blair and Brown?
They went further than Thatcher in many ways.
They were
her children. They were her children.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
No,
but I'll tell you what we want. Effective regulation. If the same regulation that Mrs. Thatcher, Lady Thatcher as is now, had existed, if Brown hadn't torn it up, we'd have been in a much stronger position, particularly with the banks.
So you think, actually, more regulation as of now more going to change the culture?
No, more effective regulation. Doesn't mean to say you've got to have more regulation. I mean, I saw Mr. Brown was wanting to have different kinds of banks, one to lend mortgages, one to lend to small businesses. Yep. Well, that seems to me that kind of level where your chief executive is demanding his smarties that all the blue ones are taken out and arranged in different colours. Uh-huh. That doesn't strike to me as being a very sane thing to do.
You don't think that's wise?
I do not.
All right, what about this then? Some years ago, Theresa May, your predecessor, described the Tory party. Well, she said, some people see us as the nasty party. And you've obviously had to move more to the centre. Yeah. And some have said, oh, we feel a bit uncomfortable with this. It's not really clear who we are and our soul. We need to be deep blue. Where do you think you are at the moment?
We are the cuddly party.
Eric is a very cuddly guy, that's very clear. But are you really the cuddly party?
What's cuddly
about you?
I think we recognise that you can't be a government unless you're prepared to have a broad coalition of support, which means you've got to attract people not just from Conservatives, not blue Conservatives, but you've also got to pick up Liberal Democrats. And you've got to come from the kind of families that are you.
Yeah,
I came from. You've got to pick up people who are Labour voters, and many of them, they've never voted Labour in their life before. So, I mean, that's been the task. That's why I think David's been so successful is his recognition and understanding that the party needs to be in the centre ground. Now, if you look at the Conservative Party over the years, when we've been successful, that's exactly where we've been. When we've been less successful, it's when we talk unto ourselves.
And what about the need to reach out and get more people from various ethnic backgrounds? I know that's something that you've been looking at, that David Cameron has been very serious about. Are you there yet? I mean, when you look at the candidates that you've got looking ahead to the next election, which will probably be in 2010, do you say to yourself, that looks like London, that looks like Britain, we're happy with the range of people from Asian and from African, Caribbean backgrounds and whatever, or do you think that's political correctness?
No, I don't think that's political correctness. I think you can't be a party unless you represent a wider community. As you know, years ago I came from Bradford and a large Asian population, and I did a lot of outreach work there in the early 80s when it wasn't terribly fashionable to do so, and we've got lots of conservativations now, our councillors in Bradford.
I think
a two-idea is pretty damn good.
Because
he's prepared to have a strategy that lasts more than a single election.
Yeah.
And yes, we will have a number of Black and Asian candidates fighting at this election. In serious seats. Not very far from my own seat in Essex.
Yeah.
We want to see more. We will see more. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty determined that because the Conservative Party has got to reflect a wider community. We didn't have very many women. And, we're going to be, I think, in terms of fighting, well over 30% of the seats, which is a lot of progress, given the way we've done it. We haven't gone for all-women shortlists.
Which did help Labour massively, of course, in
1970. Yeah, it did, but I also have to say, a lot of them were just lobby fodder.
Blair babes.
I suppose I wouldn't use such a sexist term.
Eric, you're blushing. Eric is trying to rebrand himself right here on Colourful.
I'm just kind of blushing as we speak.
You are.
Lobby fodder is such a nice term.
So we have actually put a lot into the next generation, a lot of giving them more opportunities for training, looking at the way in which we select to try and remove any prejudice, those kind of things.
Okay. In terms of Boris Johnson...
I love Boris.
You love Boris.
He's also cuddly, isn't he, apparently?
He is very cuddly.
All right. How do you think he's doing, apart from you loving him? How do you think he's actually doing in the job?
I think he's done a pretty good job. In many ways, I wouldn't have expected to have seen the amount of progress because, clearly City Hall was put together, designed in the image of Ken. And, when you come in... He's a very different sort of a person, but through policing, stuff he's done on the underground with regard to drinking, I think he's done a very reasonable job, and also the level of council tax is going to be taken from us is a lot better.
A potential prime minister one day, in your eyes?
Well, he'd have to be a member of parliament first.
True. Do you see it going that way?
I just think you're asking me to tread in waters that would get me into such trouble. There's no vacancy. And Dave's very young.
He's actually about 3 years younger than Boris, isn't he, apparently?
Is that right?
Yeah, Boris is, 44, I think, something like that. And
is he really?
Dave's, 41, 42?
Something like
David
that,
Cameron.
Yeah.
We think of him, we know he's going through very difficult times.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm going to be back... week or so's time. Funerals tomorrow, and it is very sad. See us all, actually. It was kind of a difficult thing to deal with, just in terms of staff across the centre, and kind of got them all together to explain what was happening. People don't know whether to write or not write, and all this kind of thing. And I can't say I knew Ivan very well. I only met him, I suppose, about three or four times, but it was pretty damn. It was clear to me. That David and Samantha loved him an awful lot and was in a massive part of their life.
Well, our thoughts and prayers definitely go out to him at this time. Need to ask you a serious question now. Are you mates with Sir George Young?
Well, I've met him.
You've met him?
The bicycling baronet, they call him, don't they?
Yeah, of course we're chummy. Of course he is.
You're chummy.
Man.
All right, I want to pass on a message.
What's he done to offend you?
Well, he did offend me many, many years ago. And I've told this story before. I've bought these two, but maybe you could pass this on because I might get my money back. Now, Sir George Young was, what was it? He was at the Acton Extravaganza, which is where I hail from. We have every year in Acton Park, fair rides and whatnot. And he was judging the limbo dancing competition.
Oh, did he limbo you?
No.
There is a fright.
I mean that in the nicest possible way.
She was about, how old were you at the time?
Yeah, careful, I was only nine.
Treading on very, very thin ice.
But I won. I actually won the competition.
Yeah.
And in sort of, what's the word, some reverse diversity, they also let this little white boy win as well with me, even though he ran under the bar at the last one. So it went very, very low, and I went under doing it properly.
Caribbean style.
Yeah. And he just ran under, and they called it a tie. Don't mind that so much, except the £1 winnings... you would have thought we'd get a pound each, as we were meant to. The people that win get a pound. You know what Sir George did?
What?
He split it in half and gave us 50p each.
There you are.
And I've never got over it.
Oh, my God.
I can't take that.
Eric, I'll get it from George at the coffee bar later today.
How petty do you feel right now?
Well, I feel really guilty because Eric Pickles has given me the pound.
And even worse, he's going to keep it.
Yeah.
He's going to keep it. Callum, you were going
to
say.
Well, actually, I was going to bring it back to serious things with Boris, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
One of the big problems for Boris is surely he has lost an awful lot of senior staff for a man who's been in charge for not a long time. Surely that's not a very promising sign in any administration.
I mean, one of them that went was one of my friends, so I wasn't very happy at the time. But he has been fairly decisive about it. There has been no sort of lingering process going over months. When he's felt that they weren't enhancing London, they went.
But what does that say about judgment that so many people have had to go so quickly?
I think it says that Boris has learned from mistakes of others that you just can't cling on when people have lost the confidence of Londoners.
Eric, you're about to go very shortly, but I just want to ask you this one thing. What is the big idea now? Because it's one thing to ride high when the government's in a hole. Things may be very different in about a year's time. One of your former colleagues, Michael Portillo, has been saying this in the Sunday Times just recently, and I was reading it and I thought, when Eric Pickles comes in, I'm going to ask him this.
Now.
Okay, what is the big idea? What can people look to the Tories for and say, yes, it's a positive decision to vote for them at the election and not a negative one against Brown and his friends?
Well, I think kind of we've got to do two or three things.
Yeah.
First of all, we've clearly got to do with the question of credit and getting confidence back into the economy. The second thing is that we've got to do is we've got to try and cushion so far as we can the effects on ordinary people. But the third thing we've got to do, the big idea, is showing that it's going to be life beyond the recession, which means we've got to get a fairer, more equitable, more a society more based on social justice than we've currently got. And there, and the, I'm off now, boy.
Don't
stop me now.
Don't stop me now. He's having a good time. He's having a ball.
Yeah. So that means right from the small things like councils, we've got to give them more power, we've got to give more responsibility, we've got to give them more ability to do things for these local people. We've got to do stuff about the skills shortage. We've got to expand apprenticeships, but we've also got to build a society that reflects how we are today. And that isn't going to be about six or seven magic bullets.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be about a style of government, and I think Dave can do that.
Big government or small government?
Smaller government, more effective government, more cuddly government.
Cuddly government, being promised by Eric Pickles, Chairman of the Conservative Party. Thank you very much for joining us at Colourful's DAB Day. Thank
Woo!
You very much.
Cheers.
This is Colourful Radio.